Appreciate that, ladies. Romans 15:13. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. And the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you got no hope. If you're looking out on the horizon of this life and say, oh, this government will provide hope. No. Hey, I still think we live in the greatest country in the world. And we would do ourselves a great disservice if we're looking out for hope. God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Thankful for the joy and peace that God bestows in believing. Those things are had simply not just knowing about Jesus, but believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 103 this morning. I'm so glad you're here at church today. And I pray that service would strengthen and encourage you as we look at the Word of God. And if you're new here with us, I am glad you're here. I don't take that lightly. It's not just like, we'll try this place out. I believe that the church house is a special place, a place that we not just invite people to, but we invite the Lord Jesus Christ in. And we pray that God be here. If it's just us, well, that's a waste of time. We want the Lord here. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And forget not all His benefits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. God, I thank You that You are our hope. Lord, we look to You for wisdom. We look to You for guidance. We look to You for strength. We look to You for joy and peace. And God, only those things come from You. Lord, I pray as we look through Your Word today, Lord, that You would strengthen our hearts and minds. Maybe some are frail this morning. And God, we know that You can heal. God, we know that You can restore. God, we know that You can help. God, help us to get a right perspective of who You are and who we are. Lord, we need You here. And we love You, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, I think it was Monday, we celebrated the 22nd. I don't want to say anniversary. Anniversary sounds happy. The 22nd memorial, if you will. Since September 11th, 2001, 22 years ago on September 11th at 8:46 a.m., an airplane struck the North Tower. Many of you were not watching TV at that time. I remember where I was. I was still working for the chimney company at that time, and we were out front. We would get to the shop probably around 7:15 or so, be to the job site by 8:15, 8:30 in the morning, and there we were at this guy's house, and we were starting to set up, and I remember we were working in his front yard there and getting things laid out for the day, and he's like, hey, you guys want to come on in here and check this out? Never had I ever had a customer call us off the job site of their own place. If you work construction, you want to leave the contractors alone. Don't bother them. Get their job done, right, Lee? That's what we do. This guy's like, hey, come in here. And there we sat on this guy's couch, and we're watching as the North Tower is damaged. As we were watching at 9:03 a.m., we're watching live, and I'm watching the second plane come into the second tower. 9:37, we get word that the Pentagon has been struck. This was not a normal day. By 9:59, we watched the South Tower collapse. 10:07, Flight 93 crashes in Pennsylvania. By 10:28, the North Tower had collapsed. If you were alive, if you were of age, you remember that. You know, years and years, for years, I would hear about Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th. I wasn't alive for that. I would read the record books, and I read what happened and all of those things, but I was not a... My dad can tell you where he was when they landed on the moon. I wasn't alive for that. But this one, I was. This year, we are standing around the flagpole on September 11th. Normally, we do opening exercises for, not like like calisthenics, but the pledges. We pledge to the American flag, to the Christian flag, and to our Bible every single morning at our Christian school. The kids stand at attention, feet together, smiles on their faces, yet still a little serious, right hand over our hearts, facing the American flag, and we pledge. But on Monday, we took everybody outside, dew on the ground. People, their shoes were a little wet. But just in a public display of respect and honor, there we were standing around our outside flagpole, a little bit bigger, a little bit larger, got everybody around, just a little something special for that day. And as I looked at all the students, I realized not a single one was alive on September 11th, 2001. They'd be a really bad student if they were. And I thought, you know, these young people have never lived in a world before that. Able to just walk through an airport. Remember that? Remember before TSA or whatever they are? I'm using September 11th just because it was something that was alive for. But I have a feeling you could tell a similar story. You remember where you were. You remember what you were doing. You remember that day how eerie it was that no planes were flying anywhere. For a whole week, all that was on the news, there wasn't any channel, there was no sports, there was nothing. Flags everywhere. Church houses full with people, calling out to God for mercy and protection and wisdom and guidance. And, patriotism-wise, it rallied our nation. You remember who you were with that day and all the things that followed. And since then, there has been an anthem of remembrance. Every year, as we celebrate and remember, we don't use the word celebrate, as we memorialize and remember that September 11th, 2001, we say these two words, never forget. Never forget. The police officers, the firemen that risked their lives and went in, and many lost their lives. That day, our fire department across the way, their flag flew half-mast. Why? Because it was a special day. Something changed. We don't want to forget that. In Psalm 103, it says in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." You're hired these days. Getting a job is a little bit different now than it was a while ago. Say, what do you mean? Well, 20 years ago, my experience was, I was happy to have a job. And whatever they would offer me, I would take. Whatever they were paying, whatever the benefits were. And now you go in and negotiate. They need workers bad. The demand of workers is high, so the worker can negotiate a little bit. What do I get for benefits? What do I get for vacation? I think I had to work a full year before I got 1 week. And 1 week was 5 days. I would work Christmas Eve, but my boss gave us off Christmas Day. That was nice. Benefits. Say, what's it like being a child of God? Oh, there's benefits. What's it like knowing the Lord? Hey, here's some things God says, here's some things I don't want you to ever forget. Maybe this week you talked to your kids. Maybe your kids were little and before they were around and they didn't know about what happened. And maybe they finally got to the age of maturity that you could discuss these things. Mom, Dad, why is September 11th so special? What happened? Hey, what was the day that you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe it was September 11th. Mine was the first Sunday of June, 1988. Know what I don't ever want to do? Forget that day. God reminds us, hey, don't forget. He says here in verse 3, point number 1, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. What's the benefit of, what don't you want me to forget, Lord? That I have forgiven all thine iniquities. Say, what's an iniquity? Sin. What's the problem with sin? Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is heavy, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What's the problem with sin? The problem with sin is that it separates us from God. And God says, hey, here's something I don't want you to forget. I want you to remember that I can forgive all sin. Well, what? So how do you know? Man, I'm so thankful for the King James Bible. Every word is important. Sometimes I'll listen to the radio and they'll quote a verse or something like that. Man, it just loses such power. It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. He makes it personal and he makes it expansive, huge. All your sin. Go with me to Isaiah 53. Older I get, the more notes I have to jot down. I have a to-do list already started for tomorrow when I walk into my office. Why? Say, oh, you'll remember. I will not remember. As much as I want to, other things come up. Just get distracted with stuff. So I got to write things down. You know what? Say, what's the point of the message tonight? That you'd forget not. That you never forget that God forgives all your iniquity, all of it. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. You know, if I wanted a dozen eggs, I could go to a lot of different places. I could go to the Hayes' house. I could go to Tops. Right? Are your hens still laying, Brother Hayes? All right. I could go to the Hayes' house. They have a little cart out front. I could go to Tops. I could go to Dollar General. I could go to Partica's. I could go to Wegmans. I could go a thousand different places, and I could get a dozen eggs. My neighbor's fridge. So I can go a lot of places and have my sins forgiven. No. Luke chapter number 7, in verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." Only one can forgive sin, and that's God. No, I talked to this guy, and he told me that my sins were forgiven. No, only God can forgive sin. Only God. Isn't that good to know? And Ephesians say, how does he forgive sin? Ephesians chapter number 1. Say, Pastor, you go to a lot of verses. Yeah, let's see what God says about things. Isn't that a good idea? So when I tell you I'll read a verse to you, just relax. I'll read it to you. All right? Ephesians. Did I tell you Psalm? Ephesians 1. Good. The Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Hey, God wants us to not forget. Never forget. What? His benefits. What are those benefits? Number one. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. Can I ask you here today? Have your sins been forgiven? So how do I know? How do I get that? It's the craziest thing. It's the most amazing thing. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin. 2,000 years ago, God sent his perfect, only begotten Son to this earth to live 33 plus years, a sinless life, that he might shed his perfect, innocent blood in exchange for your sin. And the Bible tells us that we can exchange our sin for his righteousness. So how do I do that? Where is that transaction? Is that at an ATM? Is that on Amazon? Is that Walmart? Where does that happen in your heart? You simply acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sin. And you know what he does? He does that. So I do that every day. You only need it once. Because that starts a relationship with him for all eternity. So I'm going to ask you again. Are all your sins forgiven? Well, you know, I'll pay for them later. No, don't do that. Because you don't know when that bill is going to be called due. I want to do some things before I make right with the Lord. Don't do that. Why not? Because tomorrow is not promised. Hey, if you're a child of God here today, if your sins have been forgiven, have you forgotten? He tells us, forget not that he has forgiven all your iniquity. How could I forget something so wonderful? Oh, it's possible. We get going with life. We get thinking about us, and we fail to consider the Lord in our life. Say, well, I'm 55 now, and I asked Jesus to save me when I was 7 years old. Don't forget that day. Don't forget all his benefits. Number one, he forgives all your iniquities. Go back to Psalm 103. Might be a good idea to just put a little piece of paper in Psalm 103. A note or something of that effect. I still have my Hudson bookmark special. This is the fireplace that he drew for me with a couple chairs a snow globe on top, and many a times I use that as a placeholder. Say, can I have? No, you'll have to ask him for your own. But I promise you, he will gladly make one. Forget not all his benefits. Number one, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Number two, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, I'm going to be careful with this, all right? There's a spiritual application of this. Is God the great physician, and can he? Yes, he can heal all diseases. I get that. But sometimes that's not his will. But spiritually speaking, lame, blind, say, what does lame mean? Not like my kids think I'm lame, like boring, but like lame, like can't walk, like after practice with Mr. Primer. Unable to move in a direction that pleases God. Literally, spiritually lame. He can help you with that. Talk to a lot of people that have no idea what direction to head in their life. They're lame. They're sitting there not knowing where to go. God says, I can help you with that. Blind, unable to see the gravity of our sin or the consequences of our sin. Unable to see the treasures. We were talking a little bit in Sunday school today, and years ago, I remember hearing a preacher say, oh, the scripture is filled with hidden treasures. I heard that. I thought, no, I don't agree with that. I don't think they're hidden at all. We just don't simply look for them. They're right there if we just open it. But being blind, unable to see, Christ can take that away too. Say, you know, I got this backache. Here, that's not what we're talking about. God isn't like a rabbit's foot. If I rub this, a genie in a bottle or a lamp, somehow, if I walk close enough to the Lord, I'll have no physical ailments. No, sometimes he puts ailments in our life to draw us closer to him. But spiritually speaking, he does heal all of our diseases. Lame, blind. One of the most common diseases in the scriptures back in the Old Testament was, it has two chapters written directly about it, Leviticus 13 and 14, about this disease called leprosy. Leprosy was a disease that would show up in the skin, eventually parts of the body, ears, nose, toes, fingers, hands, feet would just fall off. It would rot and fall off. Long before it was ever seen on the outside, it was running through their body on the inside. It was painful. As you can imagine, parts of your body just falling off. It had an awful putrid odor about it. It was decaying flesh. It could be transferred from one person to the next. It could be even transferred from clothing. So if I was leprous and I had this coat on and it touched my skin, and then Mrs. Hartman was cold and somehow took my coat and put it on, and you know what? That disease could be transferred. It was painful. It separated. Say, what do you mean? People that were leprous would live, and maybe you've heard this, and even still today, much less, but there are leprous colonies. So what does that mean? Everybody that lives in this part or this section of the town are leprous. Why? Because, well, it's still a problem. They would have to say goodbye to their family. They would have to say goodbye to their loved ones and friends. It was, at the time, incurable within themselves. It was pretty much a death sentence. So is sin. Sin starts from the inside and works its way out. Hey, it's not too long after you have sin inside your heart for a period of time that it starts showing up on the outside. Oh, no, I'll cover that. I ever talked to someone, I remember years ago, ever talk to someone that denies the fact that they smoke? No, I don't smoke. You smell like a chimney. You can't smell it. hey, it's not too long before that stuff, sin, starts showing up. If sin inside your heart, it's not going to be too long before that starts showing up. It's painful. God says it stinks to Him. It separates us. But I know a healer. In Matthew chapter number 8, go there. Matthew chapter number 8. Again, I would advise keeping a little something at Psalm 103. But if not, it's easy enough to find. Matthew chapter number 8, starting in verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper, that's someone with leprosy, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So it is with you and I. If we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, will you please forgive me of my sin? Not leprosy, but sin. God says, I will. And immediately we'd walk away. Amen. He can cleanse us from all spiritual diseases. Look with me in Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Just to show you that, spiritually speaking, that's what we're talking about here. Once again, yes, God can cleanse us from any physical ailment. Eventually, though, Lazarus did die from something, right? Even though he was brought back to life. Psalm 30 in verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Was David sick? Did he have the flu? Did he have COVID? Did he have cancer? Did he have... No, I think the psalmist here had some other problems going on within. Say, like what? Go with me to Psalm 147. Sometimes some of our ailments aren't measured. I was standing at the door today. A number of you have a sore throat and a cough. Say, how do you know? Heard it coming in. Graham Hartman couldn't get to a cough drop fast enough. Is that right? All right. And you're feeling better now? Okay, good. She wasn't the only one coughing coming in. But sometimes we have ailments that can't be heard and seen. Look at Psalm 147. Look at verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart. Hey, God says, hey, let's not forget something here. There's some benefits in knowing me. Say, like what? I forgive all your iniquities. Number 2, I can heal all your diseases. Say, like what? Like a broken heart. Ever been brokenhearted? Oh, that's heavy. That's a heavy burden to carry. Bind up all their wounds. Say, I need to go get a pill. I need to see a doctor. And if that's the case, 100%, I'll drive you if you need it. But can I remind you, some ailments have to do with our relationship with the Lord. I'm depressed. No, you're just backslidden and feeling the guilt of sin. I have anxiety. Well, maybe, and I understand, listen, I'm not belittling those things in any way. If those things are real and there's clinical issues going on, 100% get help. But let's not try and heal a spiritual problem with just a pill. How about we just come to the Lord and say, God, I have a broken heart. Can you help me? He says he heals all diseases. Say, my mind is messed up. Well, let's look at Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12. Mentioned this in our Sunday school class too. Hey, I've talked to a lot of young men over the years in my office. Young men, grown men, tears in their eyes, saying, Pastor, I've done some things. I've seen some things. I wish I could remove those images from my heart and in my mind. What do I do? Well, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be, what does it say? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, your mind might be broken by sin. I need a new mind. I need to see things right. God, can you help me in this disease? And he's like, just come to me. But we go to this person, we go to this way, or we continue thinking that we're a lost cause. The devil will convince you you're permanently broken. You can't be fixed. God says, you didn't try me. Because I can heal all diseases. He can fix a broken heart. He can fix a broken mind. You know what the devil wants? You to forget that. He wants you to forget about that. And God says, let's not forget all my benefits. I can forgive all iniquity. I can heal all diseases. Psalm 103. I like this. Say, you don't like the, I like the first 2 points. I like verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. We've often quote this scripture, the way of the transgressor is what? Hard. Following after sin and the devil and self, hey, that's a hard life. I love being a Christian. Know who I love? I love, how many of you remember Brother Randy King? Brother King. If you were here when Brother King was here, you remember Brother King. He was a dairy farmer up in Wisconsin for years and years. I think he was a youth pastor for close to 20 or 25 years. Then he pastored for 25 years. Say, man, he must, when he retired, he must want to, he's been in evangelism for the last 10 years. And I asked him, I said, brother, why don't you just settle down and like stay home? And he's like, because I love it, Brother Russo. Because serving the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest thing you could ever do. And when he redeems your life from destruction, when you were going this way and now you're going this way, when you were on a destructive path, and now you have the joy of God. Oh, man, let's not forget about that. The joyful life. Go with me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. There's no life better than the life lived for the Lord. Say, oh, no, I'm going to do it, what, your way? Don't waste your time. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence is fullness of joy. Hey, remember this. He redeemed thy life from destruction and instead replaced it with a life of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. John chapter number 10. John 10. Hey, if your Christian life is miserable, I think you're doing it wrong. Because John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. See, that's where you were headed. But now through Christ, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it, how? More abundantly. So no matter what the world says that they have to offer, remember this, the path of Christ is better. The path, it's more abundant. There's joy. Just a few pages over, John 15, verse 11. John 15, these things have I spoken unto you in verse 11, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What's it like serving the Lord? What's it like walking with God? What's it like having your sins forgiven? What's it like being healed of all your diseases? There's more joy than I could ever explain. Let's not forget that. Christ's way is better. And through Him, our joy is full. Amen. The other day, we had a great dinner. Sarah made a great dinner. And then there was dessert. It's like, oh, I'm just full. Hey, that's what it's like being a Christian. Just full of the joy of God. Say, that doesn't describe my life. Then you need to evaluate which way you're headed. You need to evaluate that, is Christ really the head of your life? Because God makes us promises that He can't go back on. So either this whole thing is a lie, or maybe there's a problem with us. Redeems us from the life of destruction. And then demonstrates in Psalm 103 and verse 4, who crowneth thee. Oh, man. Can we just go back down that path just memory lane for a moment? Here I am on a destructive path on my way to hell because of my own choices, nobody else's choices but mine. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ if he would, to please forgive me. And He says, absolutely, 100%, all your sins are gone. I've paid for them. Amen. Not only that, I will heal your broken heart and your broken mind. And I'm going to replace the path of destruction with the path of joy. And then come over here. I have something even more special for you. I'm going to crown you with loving kindness. Say, so what does that mean? Just His tender regard for you. Mr. C, He knows about you. And He loves you. And He handles you gently. That's what loving kindness is. What a great combination of two words. It's like chocolate peanut butter. It's like loving kindness. Like two great things slammed together and then put upon your head. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And every single day I wake up, I find Him like that every day. Yeah, but I failed Him yesterday. He told me to go this way, and I pulled a Jonah, and I went that way. And I woke up the next day and found that His mercies were new yet again. And great was His faithfulness. Psalm 63, in verse 4. Psalm 63 in verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Why don't people praise the Lord like they should? Maybe they forgot that He has crowned us with loving kindness. I understand there's seasons. I understand there's difficult times. Thus will I praise thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I understand that. I understand there's difficult moments, times, even a season again. But we can't look at God and say, God, you've not been gentle and kind with me. You've forgiven all my sin. You've transformed my broken heart and my broken mind. And now you've sent me on a path of joy. That sounds pretty good. I don't want to forget about that. How could I forget about that? Lastly, Psalm 103. In verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He meets our needs. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 6 and verse 35, He is the bread of life. And through Him I have no need. I love Psalm 37 and verse 25. It just kind of shakes God's holy fist at the enemy. Say, what are you talking about? Look at, it's just Psalm 37. Look there. I want to tell you this morning, it is so worth serving the Lord. It is so worth following hard after God. It's the best life. Psalm 37 and verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful. If there was a testimony I could share with you, it would be that. I just trusted God, and he just seems to meet. I've been young. I'm getting close to old. But I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Not one time. He's able to meet our needs. In Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thine diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? We ought not to ever forget that. In the following verses, in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Two times in one verse, it reminds us about His mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Isn't it good that we didn't get what we deserved? That's what mercy is. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Psalm 103 and verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Why would God forgive us of our sin? Because He's merciful. Why would He heal me from my diseases? Because He's merciful. My mom used to have a phrase, and I've told you and shared with you this. If I got myself in trouble, she would say, well, you made your bed, now you have to lie in it. Aren't you glad God doesn't say that? Seems that He comes to our rescue more times than not. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. Why would He do that? Because He's merciful. Why would He crown thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Because He's merciful. Why would He satisfy our mouth? Why do I not have a need? Because He's merciful. So let's not forget that. See, when we forget these things, what happens? Well, we will begin to neglect our relationship with the Lord. If we choose to forget these things, or if we don't meditate on these things, our relationship with God will be hindered. Our prayer time will be absent. Our Bible reading time will be sparse at best. We will no longer tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, if that explains or describes your life, I want to remind you, those things, the struggle with prayer, Bible reading, being a soul winner, telling other people about the Lord, all of that is because you have forgotten what God has done for your life. You have forgotten, because if your mind and heart get a hold of all that He has done, why would you not want to spend time with Him? Why would you not want to share that with others? But we have forgotten. Evidence that you have forgotten Your relationship with him has been neglected. You neglect the fight now. You stop putting on the armor of God. You neglect holiness. The growth and change is no longer a priority in your life. I don't want to grow any closer to the Lord. I don't want to put on new things and take off old things. And I'm tired of fighting. Why are you tired of fighting? Because you forgot about the mercies of God. Psalm 103 in verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was within me, bless his holy name." If you struggle with worship, you have forgotten what God has done for you. This week, maybe somewhere throughout, maybe someone made mention of it. I don't know how you can say September 11th without thinking about that day. Have you forgotten the benefits of knowing the Lord? Say, how would I know? Evaluate in your life. Let's all stand here this morning. Again, the anthem of the September 11th is Never Forget. Psalm 103. Forget not all his benefits. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that your sins have been forgiven, why don't you come back, come to this altar and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. One time, that's all you need. And that debt, that is paid for, past, present, and future. Forgiven, gone. Say, I don't think I'm worthy, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number two, maybe you've got some diseases, a broken heart, a broken mind. Maybe you need to come and talk to the Lord and say, God, I need your help. Maybe you've forgotten that your life was on a path of destruction and now can be joyful. Say, I'm missing out on the joy. Why don't you take a look and see where your life is pointed? Crowned with loving kindness, merciful. Have you forgotten some of these things? So how will I know? Evidence. A neglected prayer life, a Bible reading, being a soul winner, tired of fighting the good fight of faith, neglect holiness, neglect a heart of worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for who you are. Lord, forgive us of who we are. We're just a mess. And God, we need you. God, thank you for a demonstration of your power and love and mercy. God, we come to you for help and guidance and wisdom. And Lord, that we would be honest with you. Lord, please bless this time of invitation as we come forward and talk to you about things that are going on in our life. Lord, please bless here. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today? Just you and the Lord. Say, well, what anybody else, who cares what anybody else thinks? Why don't you come talk to the Lord? What's going on inside your heart? What's going on inside your mind? Have you forgotten all the benefits of